Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the life-changing book, the Book of Romans. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Verse 17 says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Takes this out of Habakkuk. The just shall live by faith. Paul does not write this letter and just grab things out of the sky. He goes back and he uses the word of God to validate what he's speaking about. And I think that's encouraging. He uses the word of God to validate. And I think that's important for us. Just like just now, we went over a small handful of scriptures, didn't we? It's not Pastor Jim's idea. Ooh, that's a neat idea. We're glad it works for Pastor Jim. No, this works for all Christians anywhere, okay? For all peoples, if they will receive this. Those things are God's truth, God's word, and it works for all peoples. It's not just for a select few. Those who will apply these things, it works. It's a spiritual truth. And so we want to embrace this. I've watched, and I watch over and over again, people trying to work things out for themselves. And man, does it just go south. It doesn't come together. And it just really gets worse. How did things go when you were commander of your own ship in the world and you were commander of your own destiny? How'd that work out for you? It didn't go good for me. Maybe it went much better for some of the rest of you. It did not go well for me at all. It was quite a shipwreck, to say the least. We lost cargo. We lost everything, pretty much. It was a bad, bad shipwreck. And so, to me, you know, when some of these things come up, and people say, well, you know, I'm just going to work this out myself. So, okay. You know, my friend whose wife has just chosen to go off and live her own life now. I mean, I'm just heartbroken over all of it. And I know it takes two to tango. I understand all that, and I get it. But still, we talked about this recently. Man, run to the Lord. That's the safety zone. Everything else is going to go bad, you know? You can't run to the world because that's how we got all messed up to begin with, you know? So we've got to run to the Lord and find the Lord as the safety zone and get help from the Lord, not from the things of the world. Paul says here, verse 16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." And I would encourage all those as Christians, especially those who have been entrusted with the privilege of any form of pulpit whatsoever, I would encourage every one of them to read that scripture over and over again until God burns it into their heart and their life, what that really means. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. Does it say, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," and a lot of other ideas and ways that might get people there, "for they are all the power of God to salvation"? That must be some new funky order of scriptures that I'm not familiar with, because my Bible does not read that way at all. Nor does any set of scripture imply anything other than this. No other orthodox teaching is going to go anything different than what verse 16 says. That the gospel of Jesus Christ is what leads to salvation. And not to be ashamed of that. Oh. For the sake of numbers and for the sake of hurting people's feelings or people becoming offended, they are going to water it down and it becomes what we would consider today a social gospel, not really the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know that me even saying that, as that gets out and about, gets more and more offensive to many. And who am I? Fine. I'm nobody, but I know Jesus Christ. And I know that as long as I'm allowed the privilege of preaching the gospel, whether it's behind a pulpit, anywhere, in a park, whatever I'm doing, wherever I am, as long as I have the breath of life within me, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul's saying. He's not ashamed of it. He's not going to back down and cower to the PC politically correctness of all of today's stuff. He didn't then, and I don't think he would today, and I think that's one of the reasons the Holy Spirit put it upon him, because this is throughout the ages. What happened to some of the reformers who are in the name of religion and righteousness, in the name of it, were forced or were forcibly instructed to recant this view? Because you see, people want to control other people. And one of the ways they controlled them was through religion. They didn't even have really, the common people didn't have the word. And yet the written word, the Bible, they did not have that. And one of the greatest things that happened, and this is because of the deeds that Jesus hated of the Nicolaitans, the priestly orders of people. The gospel is the good news, and we're not to be ashamed of it. Let me explain it to you in another way. Think about this. It's easy for us when something good, there's highs and lows in life. Anybody experience that? Highs and lows in life? A few of us have, yeah. There's some good things that go on and some not so good things. Good things, not so good things. Things that go on, just even keel, that's great. But there's a lot of low spots too. And in the low spots, we're quick to cry out, right? Oh God, please help me, you know, and we're calling out to the Lord. We hit the high spots, it's easy for us to kind of go into the closet, get out our self-righteous dress or our self-righteous sport coat, and we put that on. And we start saying, well, man, it looks like it's really coming together. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, those who are experiencing an economic boom personally, maybe, they can say, oh yeah, it's going good, man. You know, God's really good, but, you know, I really, and then they'll tell you how they figured everything out and they had this master plan and this all came together for them. Where's God? God wants to bless all of our lives. God wants to do great things in and through all of our lives, but he's looking for people that are always willing to point to him. The Bible says, no flesh shall glory in my presence. In the presence of God, there'll be no flesh glorying. So the whole thing is to make sure that whether it's highs or lows, whether it's even keel, plateaus, it doesn't matter. It's all to the glory of God. That we're all, our lives are to point to God. People are watching to see, is it that we can become sometimes ashamed of the gospel? It can happen when we're challenged about certain things and we're pushed and we can kind of, well, you know, I'm just trying to live a good life and, you know, trying to love my family. And I think that's just weak sauce talk. I think that's cheesy. That's not saying the truth. You know why I love my family? Because Jesus Christ first loved me. That's why I love God, because Jesus Christ first loved me. That's what's enabling me to even love my family. That's the truth. And man, we should stay on that. That is not being ashamed of the gospel. I love to share my faith, and I love to watch other people share their faith too. I really do. It's just a blast to me to watch people just bust out of the zone, you know, the little comforty bubble that we all want to camp out in. Oh, may God burst it for every one of us. You know, because really, man, there's a dying world out there that needs the hope of the truth. Not wishy-washy stuff, but the simplicity of the truth. Man, Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For everyone who believes, that is where the power is. It's not in anything else, but in the truth of the person of Jesus Christ. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness in verse 18. Now, we get into a portion of scripture here where we're going to travel for a little while. It gets a little heavy for a little bit, okay? It's good stuff, but we got to go through the realities to get to the other realities, you know? We can spend, you know, a few chapters here, up to 5-6 chapters of some pretty heavy stuff. But eventually we get to 8:1 where it gets really cool, the latter part of 7, you know, where it gets good, okay? But so bear with me because we're going to hit a little bit of some rough riding, okay? But it's worth it. It's good stuff. It's the truth. I love the scripture because it is an honest mirror. It's not mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all, you know? Oh, you are, Jim, you know? You know? It's not that mirror. That's the one I like to look at in the morning when I wake up. When everything even looks worse than it does right now. But the whole idea is that it is the mirror of the truth of the person of who I am and we all are, apart from Jesus Christ. Man, the mirror of who we are. I love that about the truth of the word. It mirrors back for me, not who I think I am, because I can think all kinds of cool things about myself. You know, we all can. And we can think about all kinds of dumb things about ourselves and lame things about ourselves. But the mirror is the truth of how much God loves us despite who I am apart from him. How much God wants to have fellowship and relationship with us, even despite who we are. But he still wants to interact with us. So this little portion for a little while gets a little rough, but it's good because it shows us the truth. God is also a God of wrath. He's a God of love, but he's also a God of wrath. And I think sometimes we forget that. What I hear in the distance, what I can hear in the distance, sometimes, you know, you can hear that rumbling thunder way off. I love that. I love that. Don't you love to hear that? You can hear that, just that distant rumbling thunder. But you know what's coming. There's a storm coming. Well, I'm telling you, there's some thunder rumbling in the spiritual realm. And there's ultimately, on this earth, going to be poured out intense wrath and judgment. Because by and large, they rejected the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They did not love God for who he is. That is what's coming. There's a rumbling out in the distance, and it's coming. It's coming. And man, I want to warn and tell anybody I can that grace is available right now. Repent, grab a hold of it, run with God, because that's what's available today. But God is also a God of wrath. He will judge. He is righteous. Aren't you so glad you're on this side of the fence? Oh, man, I do the joy dance every day when I wake up. I do that before I look in the mirror. And then I look in the mirror, and then, you know, they kind of go south for a little bit, and I pull out of it. But by God's grace and mercy, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against who? All ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. God has revealed himself to all. And he's going to go on. This is a blanket statement. Then he's going to go on and defend it. Clearly. He's going to make this statement, but he's going to be able to defend his statement. That God has revealed himself to mankind. And they suppress it in unrighteousness. They hold back the good that God is and the good that God wants to do. They hold, because they hold it in unrighteousness. They're not letting it come forth as who it is and what it is about who God really and what he's all really about. They suppress the truth in unrighteousness. For since, in verse 20, the creation of the world, so from the very beginning then of the creation of this world, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Man, I loved listening to Frank Drown teach on this. Man, he taught on this, and it was so great because he said he was able to communicate. They, in the people who had never heard the gospel before in Ecuador, and when he was sharing, and he said all of this came to be true. They did know right from wrong. They had an idea of evil and good. It was clearly embedded, and they saw it as it played out around them. And it was just so marvelous to hear that firsthand from someone who's dealing with people that have absolutely never been exposed to anything before of the gospel from the Word of God. Isn't that radical? You know, man. Now, man, most of them down there are saved. Man, what a great legacy. He's right now, I got an email from him. He's penning memoirs right now, things that he's learned from the Lord. So, you know, he's got that one big book, End of the Spear, but then he's got this whole other thing that he's writing now about how God has moved and used all these wild circumstances and proved himself over and over again who God was in his life. And that's so great. I'm so excited. God bless him and his family. For since creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. In other words, you look outside, you go out and you look at the stars, man, it's crying out for some kind of explanation because, in verse 21, although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now, when you resist God, ultimately you buy in on the lies. So you resist God and you go the other way. You buy in on all the lies that are out there. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Isn't that the truth? Read 1 Corinthians chapters 1, 2, and 3. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Okay, so they made their little mini-gods, right? We've talked about this before. They made their little mini-gods. Changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. This is what the wisdom of the world, professing to be wise, they became fools. And then they started doing this. Worship is natural. Worship of God is what we need, the one true living God. Worship is natural. You're going to worship something. You know, that's going to happen. But what are you going to worship? That has a correct outcome. We want to worship the one true living God. Therefore, God has given them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of the error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. That is a lot to think about. I encourage you to contemplate this because it's the listing, really, of the world in which we live. You know, you read this and you're like, wow, so that's written a couple thousand years ago. How'd they know what was going on in Kansas City, you know, a couple thousand years later? Well, you know, humanity's humanity, isn't it? You know, humanity is humanity. And you look at this listing in here, and it's so clear of just the wickedness of the heart when we turn away from God. This is where we end up. This is where all of humanity ends up. Whenever we turn away from God, we end up there. Somewhere in this list is where we end up. When we turn away from God, that is where we go. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. Whenever you resist the truth, you're going to buy in on the lie. Resist the truth, buy in on the lie. Just know it. If you're resisting what God's wanting to do in your life, you're going to end up buying in on the lie. And watch it over and over and over again. They resist the truth. It's out there. Grab a hold of it. Run with it. Buy in on the lie. And it doesn't matter how old you are. It happens at any age, at any stage. If you resist the truth of God and His Word, boom, the lie's right there waiting for you. I've often talked about how the enemy plots. The Scriptures are very clear. He plots and he watches. You know, the Bible says to be as wise as serpents and gentle as doves, right? What can we learn about the wisdom of the serpent? The serpent sits very still and watches its prey. Very, very patient until it's time to strike. You see, the enemy watches and plots. And the enemy has just the right circumstance, just the right person, just the right situation. And this is why we've got to be so guarded in our lives to know, is this the Lord or is this the enemy? My friend recently quoted to me something that I've said over and over again. He was a part of a fellowship where I taught for many years. And he told me, he said, man, he goes, it's just like what you've always said, you know, that the enemy watches and waits and watches and waits, and he prepares just the right person at just the right time. And if your heart's not sold out for the Lord and guarded, then the enemy will bring that person right across your path and he'll strike. How true that is. And the Bible's very clear, because many of us feel like, well, that just would never happen to me. Are you exempt? I didn't read your exemption on the list of names. All have potential for this. We are to all take heed. And we're to take heed in our strong areas. Because where we think we are strong, maybe we're not so strong. We need to trust in God. Brothers and sisters, we start looking at the wrong information out there. And I'm not talking about just pornography, okay? I'm talking about just getting involved with the wrong information. This that we hold is the right information. I can and do believe we can endorse this, okay? I think everything else is up for grabs and questionable. I believe we can endorse the Word of God. I encourage all of you, spend time in this. I know reading other literature is a big part of our lives, but I really believe this is the best investment made, really. Everything else is pretty much up for grabs, but this is what's going to really benefit your life. And there are wonderful things that are tied to this, and I think that's great, and that'll help amplify and do good things in your life from this. I agree with that. But I read most of that very guardedly, personally. I really want to know Him from here. That's what I want to know. That's what I want to be focused on. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks for tuning in today and listening to the message. I know that God is doing a work in your life. I know that as you hear His Word, He's doing something in your heart, and He wants to begin that good work in your life as He's done in many of our lives, and He wants to forgive you of your sin. Maybe some of you are just carrying that weight of sin and you just want to be forgiven. Well, God wants to forgive you. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. God loves you. He wants to forgive you of all your sin. All you have to do is pray this simple prayer of faith and begin this new journey with Jesus. Again, it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. God loves you and God will forgive you. Just pray this simple prayer with me. Jesus, I want to ask that you would forgive me of my sin. You know exactly where I've been and what's been going on in my life, and I want to begin a new life in you. And so, Jesus, I ask that you would come into my heart and be my personal Lord and Savior, and that I would begin this new journey with you. I ask that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I might live a life that would please you and bring you glory. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you for saving me.
I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. If you'd like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/CalvaryChapelKC. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes Store, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found on calvarychapelkc.com, or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.